Guys, welcome back to the Law of Attraction Secrets podcast. I'm your host, Natasha Graziano, and today here in the studio, we have Adarsh Alphonse. He is a leading entrepreneur in the spaces around creativity, AI. He's a philanthropist whose work spans technology, fashion, education, and social impact. From becoming a professional artist as a teenager to founding the largest free arts education program in the US and building venture-backed AI companies. His journey is a powerful story of reinvention, resilience, and purpose. And today on the show, we have talked all things purpose, creativity, really not giving up, what goes into building companies, how he transformed being expelled from elementary school to becoming such an incredibly successful entrepreneur and doing amazing philanthropy around the world. Welcome to the show, Adarsh Alphonse. How are you today?
Thanks, Natasha. Honored to be here.
Thank you for being here. It's so exciting. I have so much I want to get into with you. You are absolutely fascinating. I mean, the power of reinvention, how to build the impossible. You are the guy for that. So I know our audience is really going to love what we have in store today. Your story is absolutely incredible. You were expelled from elementary school from drawing, yet years later, you were creating portraits for Mother Teresa, Nelson Mandela, and Pope John Paul II. Looking back, was that actually the beginning of your purpose?
That's a great question. It's a lot easier to connect the dots backwards. And so I knew something wasn't right about me back when.
I wouldn't say it was not right. I mean, just not conventional.
Yeah. I guess that's a nicer way to put it. But I mean, look, I was the kid that was kicked out of school, right? I was the kid that the principal called my dad up and said, pick him up. We can't teach him. And so, you know, it was very, at that time, you know, I'm a 7-year-old kid. I just felt like lonely and terrified. But then children are so special. You know, we were talking about kids that they want to create, they want to build. And for me, my way to express myself was through art. You know, there's a saying, right? Like, I read this recently, which is like, try to get your dopamine from what you create and not what you consume, right? Today, so many people are just focused on consuming online, this, that, the other. Problem is, and they're not happy. You become happy by creating. If you find your source of happiness by being a giver, so to speak, then a taker, then, you know, I'm your fan. But also, you just realize that there's so much you can do. So for me, it was my catharsis, my way to heal was to draw. And, you know, so back when I was a child, it was drawing. But now, you know, I call my office my studio. So I just, you know, it's solving problems, doing art, building stuff that did not exist yesterday is kind of the thread that's been carrying, that's carried on.
Tell me a little bit about what you're excited for right now, because you are really paving the way when it comes to sustainable fashion, when it comes to saving the planet in a way. You're doing great stuff, and that's really what you care about.
Yeah. So I one thing I realized was, you know, I like to build, but I don't like to build just for building itself.
Right.
Or just because I can get rich. You know, I really don't believe in sort of capitalism for capitalism's sake. I want to build. What gets me up in the morning, gets me excited to build, is like, if I can do something that will generate cash, but also is good for the planet, is good for everyone else.
Beautiful.
That would be cool, right? So that brings happiness, right? Not just to me, but to everyone around me. Because money could just perhaps make one person happy or my community happy, but something that makes, as a byproduct, other people happy and the world better. So that's why I've been interested in sustainability and, you know, initially started off with Project Art, which is making sure children have access to art just the same way that I did not when I was a kid and then started to draw. But beyond that, you know, I said, what's the biggest industry that could use change? And that's fashion, because of all the waste that's generated. You know, there's billions and billions of new items being generated every year, and a lot of that ends up in waste and landfill. And so kind of, if I could help make that space a bit better, even just a 1% better, like the impact of that is just so big.
Why do you believe that creativity will become even more valuable in the age of AI?
Interesting. That's a great question. I mean, I think creativity is what makes us human. In the age of AI, there will be things that are only AI and computers can do, mm-hmm. and they can do it better than any human, and there'll be human intelligence, which is different from computer intelligence. And I think that's, you know, our creativity, our way to do things that is, I think computers can do things that are like incremental, mm-hmm. whereas humans can think in ways that are just completely abstract, mm-hmm. you know, that connect the dots in a way that a machine learned thing cannot. Mm. And so I think that's where there are limits of that. That's the limit of computers. Whereas for humans, we can wake up and we can say, let's take this and let's put it over here and mm-hmm. let's connect the other thing. And it doesn't make any sense. But by that accident, you know, we are creative and generate things that become, you know, I think a lot of the great inventions are accidents.
That's true.
Right? A lot of the great designs are accidents. So I think that ability to juxtapose and having the intellectual courage to do that and freedom to do that is what makes creativity such a valuable thing.
So what should entrepreneurs be doing today to prepare for an AI-driven world? Because we are headed that way. We are going into a fully AI-driven world any minute now.
I think I'd be curious to hear your take on it, you know, because you've done so much. I think it's being a founder today is same as being a founder way back, which is founding has nothing to do with any specific code or technology or access to capital. It's having the grit, having the flexibility, having the stubbornness to see a vision through.
Yeah.
You know, I was recently chatting with a friend and he said, I was going through a bit of a crisis and I was like, why am I having such a hard time with this? And he listened for a while and then he said, look, here's the thing about you. Whether it's a mission, a nonprofit, a startup, a relationship, kids, whatever I sign up for, 100%. And I don't pivot easily. Like, when I'm in, I'm in. But I end up putting so much in, more than most people do, which does two things, which could be, whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, that somebody that you decide. But that's why I end up achieving things that other people cannot, because the commitment is almost irrational. And so, you know, I think,
the commitment to what you want, I think, is so important. And looking at it as well as an entrepreneur, I think what we can do, as you're interested to hear my opinion on it,
yes,
is integrate and upgrade and use it to fuel what you're doing. It's not going away. It's just making your jobs easier. Think about it. When we used to write an email, or when we used to plan a campaign for a newsletter or plan something for emails going out in our businesses, how long would that take us to sit and get approval? We'd have to approve it from one of the people who was doing it for us, and they would have to come up with the copy, and then you'd need, you know, and it doesn't mean you get rid of copywriters. It just means that they can now do it at a faster level within minutes. You know, I need something out in the next 3 minutes.
Forget it. Yeah.
It's done. You know, it's that fast, and it can send it for you. It can now, the AI assistants can now send things for you. I mean, that's just a base level of stuff.
It's just amazing seeing everyone just use stuff to, I mean, yeah, the productivity is incredible.
Incredible. Like, I think about the amount that we do now with AI and the pace it's moving at. It's so phenomenal. Like, I love everything about it. So why do schools kill creativity?
Oh, that's a great question. I mean, what is a school, right? A school is something that offers a minimum amount of education. Mm. That's what's when you pass from first grade to second grade, at a minimum, you should know this. Right? If our entire life was based around minimums, what does it do to us? Right? See, there's, if I can twist your question in a totally different way, as a kid, right, you're told fit in, right? But as an adult, you're encouraged to stand out.
Right.
So just think about that. We're telling kids to fit in when they really want to stand out, when they want to be a butterfly and a warrior and a princess, because the imagination is just a beautiful thing, right? And you can imagine it and they can be it. Whereas they fit in, grow up completely fitting in, and their suit and tie fit in, incorporated into the rest of the world, and they're boring. Life is boring. There's nothing unique. There's no unique perspective. So maybe we don't tell our kids to fit in. Maybe we tell them, be different. be strange, be the weird one, and see where that takes you. Because we've tried the school where everyone fits in and thinks the same, and what did it get us? I don't think we're any happier. Innovation is stifled. We don't appreciate other people's point of views. Mm-hmm. Whereas maybe as an adult, you're like, oh my God, Elon Musk is interesting. Mm. You know, Gloria Steinem is interesting. Mm-hmm. Like all these folks are interesting. You're interesting. Why? Not because you abided by being an eighth grade skater. It's like, I'm going to make my own path.
Yeah, I did.
Right? And we love that path. We want to see that path. We want to hear that path. And we will come and seek you because you did that. And we want to be like you. Right? Not like, oh, I want to listen to this. I want to go back and sit behind a desk and, right. stare at a spreadsheet for the next 12 hours of my day. Right. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So
we create inspiration for people.
Yeah. I think we're different. We have to embrace it. Go find your difference. You know, there's a saying, right? Like what a privilege it is to become who you really are. Right. So embrace that as opposed to like getting external validation for being cookie cutter, because you're not going to be happy. That is not the path to happiness. We've tried it.
That was such a mic drop. Can we just have that line again? Go find your difference.
Right?
That was great.
You got to go find your difference. I think it was it Voltaire or Sartre or something? Like, what a privilege it is to get to know who you are, right? Or to live the life that you're supposed to live.
What's more important, talent or persistence?
Oh, persistence.
Yeah.
100%. Any day of the week. Talent versus attitude, attitude wins. It's important to have some talent, but I'll tell you straight, Natasha, I was not born with any talent.
Really?
I was the most mediocre, like hapless little guy. Like I did not have any of those things. Every bit of it was earned. And I think, you know, there's something a friend of mine told me, which is everything is figure outable. Mm-hmm. You want to learn how to launch rockets, you can. There's nothing preventing you. You have the same brain as everyone else, right? You want to learn to make skyscrapers, you can. You want to learn to sing, you can. Now, Michael Jordan didn't become Jordan he was not a first pick on the draft. He was, you know, very much in the middle of the road, but he practiced and practiced and practiced. So like, I'm very much of the mindset, like attitude is everything. Mm-hmm. And part of attitude is persistence, which is like, yes, I'm coming to you now and I'm excited about the possibilities, but am I going to show up? If today didn't work out the way I was hoping, am I going to show up for it tomorrow and the day after? And, you know, there's definitely, you know, at least in VCs and startups, it's like the company only dies when the founder's will to continue the company dies.
Oof, so you know? True. It's so
forget
true.
Forget about economics. Like so many companies have completely tanked and gone close to bankruptcy, but the founder, if you have the grit, if you want to keep it going, it's possible. But also like relationships, right? Like when things between two people, they get really bad, does it mean like, or like when finances go bad, somebody loses a job, somebody gets really unhealthy, sick, does that mean it's the end of a relationship? No, absolutely not. It's when they both decided it's the end. But people have seen each other through sickness, you know, poverty, adversity of all kinds, you know, being political prisoners, all of that stuff. It's just, I think it's about attitude as opposed to what talents you bring.
So true.
That's what I believe. Yeah.
I know. I love it. I want to lean into what you're passionate about right now. You're working on some amazing things and you have this incredible foundation and it's spreading so fast and helping so many children. Tell me what you're working on so our audience can understand a little bit more about what you do.
Yeah. I've founded a few things, all of which are somehow tied to having an impact or making the world a tiny bit better. At least I like to hope so. The first one I did was a nonprofit, which was actually really hard. it scaled up now. It took many years of hit and try. We created a scalable model that essentially does what the turning point of life for me was when somebody put a paintbrush in my hand. And what I hope to do with Project Art is to put paintbrushes in the hands of thousands of children. Mm. And we've done that. So, we're in 6-7 cities now, 23 locations.
So amazing.
And expanding. Our goal is to go to about 100 locations in the next 3 to 4 years.
And what do you do? Have your own schools?
So we partner with public libraries and we put our programs in them. And so we have, you know, it's grassroots. It's in all these different locations.
So wonderful. And kids can go in and learn how to paint.
completely free.
Wow. Do you have one in LA?
We don't have in LA, but our goal is to launch back out here.
This is a very creative city. The kids here are so creative.
LA is the heart of creativity in the US.
Oh my gosh. Absolutely. I love it. Wow. Look at what you're doing. You've reinvented yourself though so many times, but so many people are so fearful of reinventing themselves. Why?
I think people give up on themselves. I think we're told you try and you fail and then you don't try anymore or something. I don't know. I see that in friends and, you know, people around me, which is, what do you do when the unexpected happens, when what you want is not how things turn out? What do you do about it? You know, do we give up? Do we close shop? Do we walk away? I think it's so important to keep trying, learn from, you know, try to learn something every day and then take the lessons and try to keep going. I think that's the most important thing, is not to give up on your goals, which is, it's so much easier to say it than to actually do it.
Right.
And I think the truth is also that, like, when you start something, like in 2021, there was a lot of founders coming out of COVID, and everybody under the sun wanted to be an internet founder. It was all over LinkedIn and all this other stuff. The initial glory goes out, and like the novelty of it dies out, and then the real work starts, right? I guess it's kind of like also like relationships, where like,
oh yeah, like after the love bomb stage or the honeymoon phase.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, then the real shit starts, and it's like, okay, now the real work starts. Do I want to be here?
And most people don't.
No, they're like, oh no, that was really fun for the whole of the summer. It was a vacation, and now it's like cold and it's the winter, and I've got to be around this person every day.
Exactly. That's the real stuff, right? Like I heard this thing the other day. I think it's Edward Norton. He was saying that when you're in a relationship, you're actually having multiple relationships with the same person. So either you do that, or you have relationship with multiple people.
Definitely multiple relationships with the same person for me.
Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, I'm not interested in having multiple relationships or them having multiple relationships. Fuck that.
So that's the thing. So you either having the same relationship with different people, or you're having a different relationship because people change. Mm-hmm. Now, one of my best friends, he was giving advice to this couple of mine who's engaged. And he said, his only advice is this. He told the boy, the guy, he said, you see her right now? My advice to you is she's going to change. And he told his advice to her is he's never going to change, right? As long as you don't think he's going to, don't try to change him as a boy, and assume that this beautiful party girl, wonderful wife of yours, fiance of yours, she is going to change. She's going to enter different phases of her life. As long as you know that as you're walking in, you're going to be okay. Don't assume she's going to be this young, hip party girl for the rest of her life. She's going to wake up one day and she's going to be like, nope, I want different things. Not different you, but different. She wants to be a different person today. And, you know, a lot of women also enter relationships thinking, oh, they're going to fix the guy. They're going to make him different or whatever it is. Not that it's not going to happen. It will. But if you go in that expectation, you know, I guess going back to...
No, this is... I really love this. Relationships is my favorite topic, actually, to talk about. And you're right. And the guy doesn't change. Men don't. It's almost impossible by the age of about 30. Good luck. Like they, you know, they're set in their ways.
I mean, hopefully the ways that
they've adopted.
Hopefully. And hopefully the ways that are endearing to the partner, right? Hopefully the qualities and the important things are there, where you feel like, okay, this person, whoever they've turned out to be.
Yeah, exactly.
Has a heart you will never have to question.
Yes.
Because they could never intentionally hurt you.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And they will try to understand you.
Yes. Right? I think the problem with relationship, just going there quickly, is when somebody doesn't actually see the other person's perspective and says, I'm not going to change. Mm-hmm. And then that's where you don't have compromise in a relationship and it goes like off-piste.
Yeah.
Because if you say to a guy, hey, I really feel that this makes me feel this. Yeah. And then they're like, no, that's your problem.
Right.
Now you're being gaslit. Right. And now it's like, wow. You sit there thinking, shit, they're really not going to change. But this is something that would benefit them, you know?
Yeah.
My goal with a man is never to change him. It's to make him the best version of himself for me and therefore for the world. I prepare him. I'm like his mommy. Like, he goes from his mommy to me. I'm like mommy too. So now I'm going to help you with all the things that your mother didn't see because she couldn't see because she's not in bed with you every day. So she maybe does know that you're an arrogant motherfucker, but she couldn't change you. But here's all the stuff that I want to work on with you, that you've been raised so well by her, but now I'm going to raise you the rest of the way.
I think what you're saying is wonderful, because you're saying you want to bring truth into the relationship.
Yeah.
And at the end, their closest friends, what they can offer you is truth. Not just some like validation of whoever you are, but like, let me be honest with you.
Yeah.
But also honest with you in the most non-threatening, in the most endearing way possible. Right? So I think that's where relationships are also like, you and who you're with are like co-founders. You're building a future. You're building something together. You both have to show up for it together.
Yes.
You know? And so...
It's very true. Have you always believed you could achieve extraordinary things?
My response to that is, you will achieve exactly what you think you will deserve. Exactly what you think you deserve.
That's interesting.
When it comes to life, when it comes to your position in society, how you want to be perceived, who you want to be with, how you want to be remembered. What do you deserve? If you feel like you deserve less, you will get less. If you feel like, if you're standing in a room full of people that are inspiring to you and interesting to you, and you feel like you are one of them, and we're all humans, we all have the same capabilities, same brain, different stories, as we all should have different stories that are earned. But if we don't feel that we deserve the kind of happiness that somebody else has, we will not get it.
Has visualization played a role in your life? Like, did you ever use visualization? Did you use mental rehearsal? Did you ever use the art to reminisce, to start believing as though it was already there?
I absolutely do. I mean, as an artist, it's my first thing. I'm a visual artist. So I have to visualize it in order to believe it. Now, sometimes that involves, like, I actually still use my sketchbooks to draw kind of what this future looks like. We all doodle, right? And doodle is a way of doing that too. But we have to, you know, the difference between the future and now is just imagination. We have to imagine what that looks like. But we also have to imagine carefully, like, how am I to get there, right? If I want to put my anchor over there in the future, how do I backtrack to make sure I can get there? And you don't need to know all the points. You just need to know some of it, because if you did exactly that, that would be boring. Life throws curveballs at you. Like when I, you know, after founding my nonprofit, after it was scaled, I was kind of depressed, frankly. I was like, this is just, at this point, I have a dream that others could just dream about, which is just scaling really quickly. And I just wake up and it scales.
Right.
So I was like, I'm not really using my intellectual capacity. I want to start the next thing, which was Wardrobe Post Moda. And which, you know, really honored to work with folks like Tommy on that.
By Tommy, he means Tommy Hilfiger.
Right. Very, very honored to be able to work with him and get his advice on how to build it. But as I was building that, I was like, I'm sitting here in Brooklyn, which is my favorite place in the world. I don't live in SF. I came to the US, didn't know a single person here. I raised lots of funding for Project Art. Here I am starting a tech company. I don't know anyone in Silicon Valley. And sitting in Brooklyn itself without ever having to leave, I was able to meet some of the biggest and brightest investors in the world. Cyan Bannister from Fortune Fund, which is Peter Thiel's fund. The founders of Airbnb, Coinbase, Casper, Opendoor, all these public companies. And we got funding from some of the best investors. Why? Because I was like, why can't I get their funding? Who do I know? And just that belief and connecting with people, they're like, connect with you. And you were like, oh, I know this person over here. They were like, oh, actually, I know these are the people. They would love to hear from you. Is it okay if I was like, absolutely, connect me with them. And then, you know, I remember fundraising was going tough. I'm sitting on the roof of a building because the access of my phone at that particular time wasn't that great. And it was starting to rain. So I'm sitting in the roof outside with the phone, I'm doing a video pitch. It's raining. I don't want my investors to know, potential investors to know that I'm sitting on your roof and it's raining. I can't be out here for too long. Keep carrying on the call. By the end of the call, they came in 10 minutes later because they were such an influential investor. I was just getting text messages saying, I'd like to come in for $500,000 here, $1 million here. Let's close out the round. It was over. But they don't know that. But the fact being that, like, you hope for it, you visualize it, and it's possible. And of course, now I work with them all pretty closely and have, you know, I think they're going to be part of my story going forward.
Love that. How do you stay optimistic though after failure? Like, I'm sure you've had no's. I'm sure you've had people slam the door in your face. How do you stay optimistic after those moments?
What else are we going to do? Are we going to just sit here and say, shucks, like, I've come this far?
Right. Absolutely.
As it's saying, right? Like, you didn't get this far just to get this far.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? Uh-huh. So now is not the time to give up. And so, like, yeah, I mean, I'm 42. I've never felt more ready in life, more healthier in life. I know my great network now. I know what I'm capable of. And I know that, you know, in the best sense possible, that I'm capable of doing some real damage. So that said, in a good way. So that said, I feel like it's just the beginning chapter. You know, I think Carl Jung who said life begins at 40. So
very so optimistic. I have that to look forward to. I'm excited. Although I really love my 30s. I'm like, so fun.
30s are great. 30s are great.
It's such a good age. Okay, I want to play a quick viral round before we wrap for today. It's called Rapid Fire. So I'm going to ask you questions. You've got to say the first thing that comes to your mind.
Okay. All right.
Artist or entrepreneur?
Artist.
AI or human creativity?
Oh, human creativity.
Biggest mentor?
I would say Alfred Lim.
One word that describes success?
Persistence.
Most underrated leadership trait?
Being an optimist, I guess.
Biggest risk you have ever taken?
I do like taking big risks. About to take one now with starting a new company in the AI space. So I guess founding any of my companies, you know.
That's so true.
Yeah, because it's not just it's an emotional commitment. Mm-hmm. It's intellectual. It's financial. It like hits every part of you.
Mm-hmm. What's one lesson you'll teach your children forever?
Oof, maybe something like do as much as you can because life is short.
Love that. Adarsh, you've built companies, movements, and technologies, but you've also rebuilt yourself several times. If someone listening feels like they're standing at the beginning of a completely new chapter, what's one piece of advice you'd want them to carry with them?
That's such a great question. I would say, hopefully the next thing you do be more fearless. take a bigger chance. And it's okay if you fail. Mm-hmm. But in the chance that it works out, the outcome is going to be so much more interesting, memorable, exciting. You know, you rarely achieve a memorable life or something great by taking baby steps or incremental steps. I think that's good, generally speaking. But every once in a while, you just have to punch outside your weight, you know, your weight category. And that's how you take big risks and so big rewards.
Adash, thank you so much for coming today. We've loved having you. You are awesome. I feel like I've learned so much about the future of the world, creativity, sticking to your purpose and living in that divine element. Thank you for coming. Where can people find you?
Online, I guess.
Instagram?
I'm on Instagram. My website.
Amazing. Anywhere. We're going to put your links below.
Cool.
Thank you so much for tuning in, guys. And thank you for being here.
Thank you, Natasha.
Guys, thank you for your eyes, your ears, and your time. We love you. We'll see you again more for next time. Ending at the beginning of a completely new chapter. What's one piece of advice you'd want them to carry with them?
That's such a great question. I would say, hopefully the next thing you do, be more fearless. Take a bigger chance. And it's okay if you fail. Mm-hmm. But in the chance that it works out, the outcome is going to be so much more interesting, memorable, exciting. You know, you rarely achieve a memorable life or something great by taking baby steps or incremental steps. I think that's good, generally speaking, but every once in a while, you just have to punch outside your weight, you know, your weight category. And that's how you take big risks and so big rewards.
Adash, thank you so much for coming today. We've loved having you. You are awesome. I feel like I've learned so much about the future of the world, creativity, sticking to your purpose and living in that divine element. Thank you for coming. Where can people find you?
Online, I guess.
Instagram?
I'm on Instagram. My website.
Amazing. Anywhere. We're going to put your links below.
Cool.
Thank you so much for tuning in, guys. And thank you for being here.
Thank you, Natasha.
Guys, thank you for your eyes, your ears, and your time. We love you. We'll see you again more for next time.